Let's just pray, shall we, this morning? Let's pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your wonderful love, for your mercy and your grace this day, my God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Father, I just pray, my God, that you would move by your power, by your spirit, Lord, that you would use me to speak, Lord, Amen. This morning. Lord, that Lord, I would speak nothing of me or flesh, Lord, but Amen. Of you and of your spirit this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I pray that all the glory would be yours this morning. Lord, as we share together, Lord, as we read together your word, your eternal word.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, we pray, my God, Lord, that you would just, Lord, that we'd apply to our lives, Lord, that you would change our lives through your word. That we would not only be hearers of your word, but give us the strength to be doers.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for his wonderful grace this morning.
Amen.
There was a particular message that I had in mind this morning, but as through the worship and through praising the Lord and you know, the message is changed a bit than what I intended originally to preach. I leave that to the Lord.
Amen.
It's not what I want to do, but I believe it's of the Spirit that, you know, that what he wants us to hear this morning. That's what's important. And I just, through the word of God this morning, I really want to encourage the body of Christ. I want to encourage you this morning to walk worthy of the vocation that we have in Christ. To walk worthy of him. Remember, the Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith, and that is of ourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, but it's the gift of God. But he has saved us to walk in a newness of life, not by works, but to do them. Can you understand? There is a difference. There is upper faith preachers that teach, you know, it's all by faith, you know, well, listen, we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's God's gift. It's God's Son that cleanses us from all sin. But he has saved us to walk in the newness of life.
Amen.
By the power of the Spirit.
Amen.
That we no longer walk in the old way, in the old conversation of life that we used to live in, you know, because we was in bondage and slavery to sin because we had no power over it. But thanks be to God that Jesus, he took our sin upon himself. He died for our sin, that we may, and rose again to life, that we would live in that newness of life. That we would walk in Christ, we're his body. We're not saved to sin, we're saved to walk in the newness of life by the power of the Spirit, to do unto good works. Do you understand? That's where people misunderstand the scriptures. Because they don't read scriptures sometimes in context. We're not saved by them, but we're certainly saved to do them. We can now because Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're the body of Christ this morning.
Thank you.
He gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Thanks to the Lord for that. That we can show forth Christ and we can walk in that power of the Spirit of God this morning. And Paul, in Acts chapter 20, it's more or less his farewell message to the church. It's really a sad message as you read it through. It really cuts the heart. Paul, he has struggled with all sorts, with infiltration of false doctrine and people that is saying things that's not right, to take people away from the simplicity that's in Christ, away from the cross, to put them back under the law, and to put them back under bondage. And he's had all sorts. But Paul is steadfast to the truth.
Amen.
To the end.
Amen.
Do you understand? And that's how we have to be this morning. Steadfast to the truth. To the end.
Amen.
Not swayed to the right. Nor to the left. But we walk in the newness of life by the power of the Spirit. We continue in Christ. He is our salvation.
Amen.
Until he appears.
Amen.
He's coming soon, brethren.
Glory.
He's coming soon.
Glory.
Have a look at the state of the world that's around us.
Amen.
He's coming soon. It's birth pains. And in the Oliver Discourse, in Matthew 24, Jesus spoke of these things. What's going to take place, what's going to happen. But the end is not yet. Thank God for his grace, that we're still in the time of grace, that people can be saved this day. Thank God for that this morning. We're going to start in verse 19 of Acts chapter 20. And I'm going to read quite a few verses because we want to understand this scripture in its entire context of what Paul is speaking about. And it says, in verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility, this is Paul, and with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Now,
I keep back nothing that was helpful, but proclaiming it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what it is, repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. You see, when Peter had preached the gospel in the book of Acts chapter 2, you know, the Bible says they were perplexed and they were cut in the heart and they said, what shall we do? Did he say carry on living as you are, disbelieve on Jesus? He didn't say that. He says, repent every one of you and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and to all who is far off. Thank the Lord for that. It's repentance to God. God, you know, that we broke his law, that we was away from him, that we were sinners, that we, you know, that's what it must be. When the word of God is preached, there must be a conviction of the Holy Spirit. There must be a cutting of the heart that somebody is so sick of their sin, so sick of themselves and so sorry towards God. That's what leads to repentance. Godly sorrow. Worldly sorrow leads to death. Somebody gets caught stealing and they're out in prison, you know, they're not sorry for stealing, they're sorry that they're in prison. There's a two difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. The world is not sorry. It's only sorry it's been caught. The prodigal son, he said, I'll go back to my father and I'll say to him, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Make me like one of your hired servants. That was repentance. That was godly sorrow. And this is what he said. He said, repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And seeing now also I bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things what will happen to me there. He don't know. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that these chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish the race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus. No man give it to him. It's from Christ himself. Christ taught Paul personally. To testify to the gospel of grace of God. The gospel of grace of God. It's by grace. It's unmerited favour. We don't deserve it. I tell you what I deserve. Hell. Because I was a con man, a cheat and a liar. I know where I've come from. I know what I was. Do you understand? That's what I was. But thanks be to God by his grace. He has pulled me from that. He's pulled me from darkness. Do I continue to do what I used to do? No. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. God forbid. How can we who have died for sin continue to live it anymore? That's the idea. But you're going to get those who will preach it's okay. God understands it's you continue in that lifestyle. You continue in that sin. You know, it's no problem. No, the Bible says repent. Forget what man teaches. What the word of God says. It says repent. Repentance is metanoia in Greek. It means a transformation of the mind. In Hebrew, it's to turn. You was going that direction. You've turned from that direction back to God. You've turned. It's always to turn, which I have received from the Lord Jesus Christ and testify the gospel of grace of God. And indeed now I know that all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, they will see my face no more. Verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Why is he innocent of the blood of all men? For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. That's where Jesus quoted for in Matthew 4, 4. That's what he was saying. Satan says, turn this stone into bread. Jesus said, no. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Not some. It's not the cafeteria.
A lot of people like to take this book as a cafeteria. You know, I don't mind this part. I don't really like this part. Well, sure it don't, because it means crucifying the flesh. So let's have that part out. Do you understand? Anything that doesn't appease the flesh, people want to get rid of. Because it's a matter of crucifixion. Jesus said, he who desires to follow after me must what? First take up his cross, deny himself and follow me. That's the part we don't want. We all want the resurrecting part. We all want to be glorified, but nobody wants to get crucified. Not pleasant. It wasn't pleasant for Jesus. But he was crucified. He took our place on Calvary's cross. And now he says, if you desire me and you desire to follow after me, first take up your cross and follow me. It's the self-denial of flesh, self-denial of world, self-denial of all these things, and to walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. He's not shunned the whole counsel of God. You know, in a cafeteria, you can go around with a tray, you know, you can say, well, I fancy the soup, but I'll leave the salad. Or I take this bit and I don't know. That's how a lot of people use the word of God as a cafeteria. It's the whole counsel of God. And then they say, well, Jesus never said nothing about homosexuality in the New Testament. Well, the Bible says, you know, in John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So who said it in Leviticus? It's Jesus.
Amen.
Do you understand? It's the whole counsel of God. And that's what a lot of people do. They take one part of Scripture, put it out of context, and it becomes a pretext. It don't become the truth. It's the context of the Word of God. It's taking Scripture as it is, and it's the whole counsel of God. All. Jesus said, you know, that there's a place called hell where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's a lot going around saying, oh no, there's no hell. It's not really hell. Well, Jesus said so.
Yeah.
Who are you going to believe, them or Jesus? We've been saved from the wrath of God. The wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this world. If you read the old fashioned time, Pilgrim's Progress, he was going from the city of destruction and he was heading for the celestial city. That's us. That's the journey. And along the way, the characters that he meets is those who would deter you away from the cross. It's an easy way. Jesus said, no, it's not a wide road that leads, it's a wide road that leads destruction. It's a narrow road that leads to life. And only a few find it. But they love the narrow, the wide way. You know, it's not safe on the wide way. Hebrews, turn your Bibles to Hebrews for just a second. Book of Hebrews 10. There's a famous verse in there that we use often. Hebrews 10:25. You know that verse. Do not give up together the gathering of the saints, as some is in the habit. Okay? But there's a verse after that, what's very interesting. I'll read from verse 25. It says, And forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as some is in the manner, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Let's have a look at verse 26. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but what? A certain fearful expectation of judgment.
This is a big difference between jumping and falling. We all drop our cross. Every single one of us, we all fall short of the glory of God. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
But if, you know, willfully, if we continue willfully and we live that life willfully as we used to live a life, there remains no, after we've come to the knowledge of truth, you know what we do? We trample over the blood of the Lord again. We put him to common spectacle of shame. We've received the knowledge of the truth. We have the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's by him that we have access into glory. It's by him that we have access to the presence of God. He has passed beyond the heavens, the Bible says. He's made intercession for us. He's at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and for me. You couldn't get a better lawyer. It's his blood. It's what he did for us. That we may walk in that newness of life, that we may love him with all our hearts, and that we pick up that cross, we bear it, and we continue, we walk on the straight path, the narrow path, until the coming day. He's coming soon. I want to encourage you this morning, live for Jesus.
Amen.
That's really the message this morning. Live for the Lord. Continue in him. Because, listen, he who promised, the Bible says, is faithful and just and will do it. In my Father's house there are as many mansions, as if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you so. But if I go, I go to prepare a place for you. And where I am, you may be also. I'll come back to take you unto myself. The promise of the Lord. We have the promises of God this morning. And they're all yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Every one of them. You have eternal life this morning. Thank God for that this morning. You will never see judgment of the wrath of God. Listen, the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this world. Don't worry, it's going to be. But we've been rescued. We've been took out from it by the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows how to rescue the righteous. Do you remember the bargaining chip that happened, you know, way back in the book of Genesis with Abram, do you remember, over Sodom and Gomorrah? 50, 40, going down and go down. If there be 10 righteous, you know, I will not destroy the city. But they couldn't be found 10. There are a picture of things that's going to take place again. Do you understand that? But when the angel went there, there was people who was betrothed to the daughters of Lot. And when they was told, they thought they was joking. And, you know, that city was going to be destroyed. But, you know, Lot and his daughters was rescued. We're going to be rescued from the wrath of God. You know why? He said, let me go over to this place here. It's only a small place. And he said, go quickly, because we can't do nothing until you're safe. God's wrath, when his children are safe, is going to be poured out upon this world. We've escaped the wrath of God by the blood of Jesus. Thank God for that. It's by Jesus. He says, and none of these things move me. Let me continue down some more verses. I'll back up in verse 26. Therefore I testify to you this day, I'm innocent of every man's blood, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. It's God who appoints. Shepherds of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For now this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also among you yourselves will men arise up, speaking perverse things, and to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, and remember that for these 3 years I did not cease to warn you, night and day, with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to the Lord and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver. I wonder if they could say that on the Name It, Claim It and Blag It TV. I've coveted no man's silver. Paul wasn't into money. Do you understand? He wasn't into money. He was into people's souls. He was into doing the will of God. I've coveted no... I've worked with these hands. He was a tent maker. I worked with these hands. I've coveted no man's silver. I have shown you in every way, by labouring like this, that you must support the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and he prayed with them all. So concerned for them, yet he's going to face death very shortly. That they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. Showing most of all that the words which was he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. What a farewell message. When it's near somebody's near the end of their life on this earth, they don't want to talk about the weather. It's always seriousness. It's always things that's important. That's what we do. It's serious things. It's things that's very important. We don't want to talk about trivial things or small talk. We want to talk about things that's important. And Paul, in this letter, as he's writing here, he wants to talk about things that are important, things that are serious, things that for them to look out for. Because he says, after my departure, you know, all the time Paul was there, it was very hard because Paul was on them continuously. You know, he's in danger of false brethren, in danger of this, in danger of that. All this, all the time. That would creep, try and creep in with another gospel. They would, the especially those of the Jew section, you know, of the Judaizers, with the, about circumcision and about this and denying the resurrection and all sorts of polite to contend with. But he said, listen, after my departure will come in about from men among yourself furious wolves, and they won't spare the flock. We have to watch out for one another.
Amen.
Watch out for one another. There is furious wolves out there that would get in, that would try and take you away from the simplicity that is in Christ and from the true gospel, and put you over to another gospel which is no gospel at all. That's already happening. There was deception in them days. In Matthew 24, Jesus said about three times, once times pestilence, once times, you know, earthquakes, once times these things. But about three times he said, do not be deceived. Many will come in my name. False Christ will come to deceive. It's the deception of the enemy. So Paul is warning here because he loves them, because he wants to admonish them, because he wants them to continue in the faith. And that's my thing today, my attitude today. I want to see believers go on in Christ. I want to see them be built up in the faith, in the knowledge of Him, and in the Word of God. Not to be lacking in anything. That's what gifts are given to the body for, that we all may come in unity together. He gives some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be apostles, some to be teachers, some to be pastors. It's Christ is given gifts to men in order that the body of Christ may be lacking in nothing. That we all grow up together in unity of the Spirit, of the truth of the gospel. So brothers and sisters, this day I'll encourage you.
Thank
you. Continue with Christ. It's a narrow way, it's a difficult way, it's an hard way, but it leads to life. Don't listen to the so-called religious jargon that's out there. Forget it. It's rubbish. It's not the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, your grace. Lord, and I pray for the brethren here this morning, for my brothers and sisters. Lord, that you would bind us with bonds that can't be broken.
Yes.
That we would be, Lord, in one spirit, in one mind, contending for the faith.
Amen.
That we would fight the good fight of faith, Father. That we would move by the power of your Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, that you would encourage, you would uplift, you would bless, you would equip us, Lord, with everything that we need. Father, help us, my God. Lord, it's not us, Lord. We can't do it, my God, Lord. But give us the strength. Give us the knowledge. Give us the wisdom. Give us discernment, my God. That we may discern what's right and what's wrong, Lord. Lead us, Lord, by your Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, as these days that we live in are getting darker and perilous, and Lord, more and more is going, Lord, over, away from the truth of your word. Father, help us. Open our eyes, Lord. Enlighten us, my God. I pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus, that this church will be blessed. Your body here, my God, will be blessed. Thank you for every person that's come here this morning. Every brother and sister, my God, Lord. Please, Lord, help us, Lord. Bless the families, my God. Bless us, Lord. Our children, my God. Our families who are lost, my God. I pray, my God, that through our lives, they may see Christ shining. Lord, that we would speak, Lord, the eternal words to them, and they would repent and turn to Jesus for salvation. Help us, Father, this morning. In Jesus' name.
Amen.